I just love it so much. I know you've probably heard me say it a million times, but when we have our students come back and then go out and serve God in the way that he has equipped them and designed them to do, it is like, whew, it's so awesome. So thank you for sharing, you guys. It's a God thing that Emma is in the Philippines, that she's going to go to the Philippines. She didn't know that Cascade Covenant partnered there. And then when I first interacted with her about it, I didn't know that she was going to the Philippines. And then when we found out, I was like, oh my goodness, this is so great. Because this is a strategic partnership that we have with the Philippines so that we can pray specifically and we can know specifically what's happening. When you have an organization like IJM that is all over the world doing all sorts of different things, it's really nice to be able to narrow in and pray specifically about something so that you can celebrate the rescues because you actually knew that they were, you know, happening. You knew that investigations were happening and that they were putting together cases so that then when the rescues happen and the prosecutions happen and convictions happen, it's awesome. So we're just really excited, really for the next year and to see what God's going to do with her after that year and how he's going to use this year to shape the rest of her life. So cool. Today's Freedom Sunday. You heard me say that already. We've been planning today and really the next couple weeks for a long time now. We strategically focus on some of our mission partners specifically for like a chunk of time so that you can hear about them and know about them and understand what they're doing. So, you know, in the spring from the Global 6K through the half marathon, all you guys hear about is Covenant Kids Congo, Congo, Team World Vision, and water. That's what you hear about. And in November, last year we started this, because the partnership started last year. But in November, we talk about International Justice Mission, and we talk about it for 3 weeks so that you can understand and learn about what is happening in the work there, and you can be inspired to partner. As you saw in the video a little bit, and you heard from Emma, IJM is in the business of fighting human trafficking. They're in the business of fighting forced labor and in the business of fighting slavery. And in the Philippines specifically, it's a praise mixed with a prayer request. So the Philippines, 2 years ago, made a transition. They had reduced sex trafficking by 79% in that country, you guys. That's amazing. That's amazing. I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy. So if you heard about the Philippines in like the 70s, 80s, actually even further back from there, I mean, the sex trafficking that has occurred in that country is devastating, and it devastated the entire country. But part of that was because the politicians and the government and the law enforcement wasn't able to get convictions. And so through the work of IJM and supporting the local law enforcement, they've been able to seek that. And that's so fantastic because 79% reduction, I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy. But what happened is when they moved from sex trafficking, it actually went online. So there's no longer as many brothels when you walk up and down the streets in the Philippines, but now it's an online beast, if you will. And it's fascinating. It's actually the first one of IJM's field offices and locations to move into the cyber sex trafficking, because that's a real threat, but it's not just in the Philippines. That's where these kids are, and that's where these women and these boys and girls are, but the perpetrators are in other countries. And so the Philippines works with the UK, Australia, Canada, the United States. They work all over the world with organizations like the FBI to when there's a sting that might happen here in the United States, oftentimes it links back to the Philippines, and that's how the rescues then take place. So it's really a fascinating change that's happened in this conversation about sex trafficking because the internet. I mean, it makes things so accessible. If you want to hear more about that, that's probably the most I'm going to say about that topic specifically. If you want to hear more about it, you can go to IJM. There's a video that talks about what cyber sex trafficking is, and it can go into that. It was definitely not PG rated even, so it's not something that we were going to show this morning, but if it's something that you feel like your heart strings are tugged by it, I encourage you to do some more research into that. We also have the IJM booth, if you will, set up back there. Tons of great information about who IJM is and what they stand for. I wanted to read something for you this morning. And it's going to be up on the screen as well, because I just think this is really powerful. And it's not just the people of IJM, but it applies to us as well. So I'm going to read this. We are slavery's end. Each morning we rise wide awake and filled with purpose. We fight fearlessly in the name of justice because we believe in a better world and in a God who moves us to make it so. We are the church. Beyond a building or day of the week, the new abolitionists relentlessly defending freedom, not for some distant future, but for today, so that this may be the last generation to be owned, sold, or ignored in their suffering. And though we may be free, we are tied to those still held in bondage, and we will not go away until lives, communities, and nations are transformed, until all countries protect all of their citizens. So each day, we rise again, knowing we are slavery's end, and we will never be free until all are free. Isn't that powerful? So powerful. That's what the church is here to do. The church is here to shine the light of Jesus and bring his freedom to the world. As I mentioned, we are in our second year partnering with the Philippines field offices. And again, this partnership means that our funds that we send, so the church as a whole, your tithe, supports the offices in the Philippines, both Cebu and Manila. And it allows us to get specific updates, and it allows us to pray specifically, which, you know, you really see the power of prayer when you pray specifically for things. Emma shared at the field office or the prayer gathering about Ghana, and I actually shared a little bit about this last year, but we prayed specifically for the rescue of Gabriel. And Gabriel was the first boy who was rescued off the Lake Volta. That's insane. There's 10,000 slaves on that lake. And the investigator met Gabriel and met some other boys, and we prayed specifically by name for Gabriel, and he was rescued. Last year alone, 100 boys were rescued off of the lake. There's some good work happening in Ghana. So I was at that prayer gathering, and I love that God used that prayer gathering to inspire you to connect. It was really powerful. So you guys, on Wednesday of this week, from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, we are actually going to be having an additional time of prayer for the Philippines field offices. If you are interested in joining us, we would love to have you come. There's prayer requests around the worship center that we're going to be using later in the service today, but there will be these as well as some experiential stations attached to them. If you have attended one of our Good Friday services, it's much like that. There'll just be things that you can do. Again, it's not necessarily for small children, but if this is a conversation that you want to engage with your kids on, that would be something that you could do as well. So in September, a small group of us traveled to Texas for a conference called Liberate, and it was the largest anti-slavery gathering in history. 4,000 people from the United States and 1,000 people from all the field offices with IJM were there. We came together to pray for rescue. We came together to learn about the need and to be inspired to continue the fight. And part of the weekend included a reception, meet and greet with the Philippines field office employees. And this was probably my favorite part of the whole weekend because we got to meet three people. And there's a picture of us up there. We got to meet John. He's on the left there. John is the field office director for the Philippines. We got to meet Gigi. She's the next left. She is the community and church mobilization director for the Philippines, so Filipino churches working with IJM. And then Evelyn is the communications mobilization and advocacy director, and she is the one who tells the stories to spread the information throughout the Philippines. And you guys, we got to talk with them. We got to ask them questions. We got to lay our hands on them, and we got to pray over them. It was so cool. It was a really cool thing. And these are folks that Emma is likely to meet and interact with at some point during her time in the Philippines. How cool is that? They're in the trenches doing the hard work of justice, fighting for the men, women, and children who are not yet free. And so before we get into our red letters for this morning, because we're going to be continuing our series, I wanted to highlight one more thing for you. In your programs today, you have the Thanks and Giving calendar. And Sam mentioned this, and I'm going to mention it again because I think it's that cool. The Thanksgiving program or calendar is something that we've actually done for a couple years. But the goal of this is to help all of us and help our kids be thankful for what we have and the things that we've been given. But also it gives you something to do. Oftentimes, when we hear about causes like this, it's really hard to know what to do next. And so this is something that is a tangible way that you can connect. But we've added something this year. If we flip it over on the back, I'm really excited about this because I think it will be super helpful. We've added a backside of the calendar to help continue and prompt conversations to have in your house. You know, things that you read on here are going to make you sad. And they might make you super frustrated, or maybe they might be confusing. But the questions are meant to help us learn more about what is happening and take one step further and one step closer. Pastor Angela wanted me to make sure that I mention that this is for everybody, not just for the kids. It is certainly a way that as parents we can use it to talk with our kids, but this is an activity that anybody is welcome to participate in. And then in 2 weeks, on November 25th, we're going to have a special offering for this, and these funds this month will go towards IJM as well. We are in, one other thing. On the bottom of the calendar, this is an important thing, actually. Glad I remembered it. On the bottom of the calendar, it says, remember, God's arm is long enough to reach into the darkest and hardest situations to bring hope, life, and freedom. God's arm is long enough. One of the speakers at the Liberate Conference was Louis Giglio, and that's one of the things that he said during his talk, and it probably was on my list of really cool things, because our God's arm is long enough to reach into these situations, and he is doing so. He is bringing rescue, and he is providing rescue for so many people, but as you read these, they will probably make you sad, but remember that our God's arm is long enough to reach into these hard things. So hopefully that helps a little bit. As believers, we can lean into the hard stuff, knowing that that we can find freedom in Him. So we're in the middle of a series called Red Letter Jesus, and the red letters, if you remember, they're found in the New Testament, and it's 1899 is when the first New Testament was published with the red letters, and they highlight the words of Jesus, and there's. By highlighting them, it kind of pulls out the words of Jesus to help us better understand what he says and why he says the things that he does. We've already learned about prayer. We've learned about wealth. Last week, we talked about love. And then today, we are talking and tackling freedom. What does Jesus have to say about freedom? Freedom from what and freedom for what? But before we get started, we're going to define freedom. And so naturally, as I was preparing for the message, I asked Siri, what is freedom? And Siri had a number of definitions that came up, but here are some of them. The power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. That was the primary definition. A few other ones, absence of subjection to foreign domination or authoritarian government, so political freedom. Freedom is a state of not being imprisoned or enslaved, so that idea of slavery. An ancient Greek historian said that the secret to happiness is freedom, and the secret to freedom is courage. So think about that. Something to think about on Veterans Day. In the United States, we might say that freedom is the preservation of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Theologian Roger Nicole defines freedom as the ability to fulfill one's destiny, to function in terms of one's ultimate goals. Freedom is not being enslaved, and it's the ability to fulfill one's destiny. And if destiny is a little too new agey for you, how about the ability to live into who God created you to be? Freedom, the ability to live into who God created you to be. And the New Testament has a lot to say about freedom. However, the majority of the instances in the New Testament do not talk about physical freedom or even political freedom. It's spiritual freedom that's being addressed. And keeping that in mind, we're going to dive into our main passage for today, which is in John. If you have your Bibles or your phones, go ahead and turn to John 8. 31 through 36. I'll read it for us, and it'll be on the screen. It says, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We're Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. For if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." So we're going to unpack this a little bit. Jesus is in the middle of a conversation about his identity. He's in the middle of telling the people who he is, and they aren't really sure about it. In verse 30, so just before our passage, it does say, however, that many put their faith in him. Okay, so he's telling about who he is, and many put their faith in him. And in verse 31 and 32, Jesus is speaking directly to the Jews who had believed him. If you see that up there, it says, to those who had believed him. And there's kind of a debate, I guess. You could say debate. I don't know who debates about such things, but about whether they're talking about a different group of people or is this the same group, but a subset of group, and that's actually not that important, but, or to our conversation today, it's not important. But one thing that is important is that it's a Jewish audience, recognizing that they're talking to a Jewish audience. You can go back one for me. So to the Jews who had believed in him. All right, so we're going to keep that in mind, understand the context a little bit, that he's speaking to a Jewish audience. It says, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, my NIV version of the Bible and what you guys see up there says, hold to my teaching. And I actually like the other translations. Other ones say, if you dwell in me, abide in me, continue in me. If you remain connected to me, you are really my disciples. All right, so keep those in mind. This is the measure of a true disciple, being connected with Jesus. And this, being connected with Jesus, is the way to truth and freedom. Not truth as in the opposite of falsehood. Jesus is alluding to himself here as truth, and in verse 36, he does refer to himself in that way as truth. So they, the disciples, will come to know him as truth as they remain connected to him. And this will preach, right? I mean, that's what it means to be connected to him. Those who remain connected with Christ abide in him, they dwell with him, they spend time with him, and they really are his disciples. In verse 33, it says that the Jews listening to Jesus answered him with the claim of their own identity, okay, as Abraham's descendants. And he's like, hey, we're not slaves. You know, why do we need to be set free? Now, we know that Jesus isn't talking about physical freedom. He's talking about spiritual freedom. But I think it's actually pretty interesting to note the level of denial here of the Jews. Have they forgotten the large piece of their history where they were enslaved in Egypt? I mean, yeah, you were Abraham's descendants, and yes, you were slaves in Egypt, and Moses was your deliverer. So, you know, it's actually a common theme throughout the Bible that the people of Israel forget God's faithfulness. They continually forget God's faithfulness. I'm pretty sure it says that a million times in the Old Testament. But they also weren't really completely free either in their current context. They were under Roman rule, which meant that they, you know, didn't get to enjoy political freedom. They weren't allowed to do a lot of the things that Romans were allowed to do simply because they were Jewish. And so it's interesting that they would say that. But I also think that it would be said today. Do we believe that we are free in all the senses of the word freedom? Do we believe that we are, or would we say, I mean, I'm not a slave? Is that the way that we would respond? I think that we probably would respond that way in denial, but the reality is that Jesus brings freedom, but we all are slaves to sin. So in verse 34, Jesus breaks it down for them and he drives it home by saying, very truly, I tell you, or other versions say, truly, 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 truly. He's emphasizing the importance of what he's about to say. This is truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. The inheritance of the Jewish people did not matter. Man is the slave of sin, and unless there's a radical change, he cannot be freed from it. And we're not just talking about the Gentiles. Again, remember the Jewish audience. We're not just talking about Gentiles, not only the Samaritans, not only the demon-possessed. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And everyone sins. For the parents out there, that phrase, everyone sins, might make you remember a book, and I can't believe I'm even going to say this. But I have a 6-year-old son, so this is why I'm saying that. I'll preface it with that. But there's a book out there called Everyone Poops. And it's just a story about this, just the reality. Everyone poops, right? Well, everyone sins. That's just a reality. So you can kind of align those, and this is what happens when I write my sermon late at night. I think about these things. No, but really, it's true. Everyone sins, you guys. It's not, there's this group of Jewish folk who don't see it that way. They don't see that they're sinning. They see that they're following all the rules and they're doing all the right things. They were God's chosen people. They already had entrance to eternal life with God. The Jews Jesus was talking to would have seen themselves as superior, right? They claim, we are Abraham's descendants. I have no idea the tone of that, but it's like, we are Abraham's descendants. And Jesus quickly showed them that the same sin problem that they have is the same one that everybody else has. Sin is a master. And the chains of sin cannot be broken by the slaves themselves. They have to be freed from it. In verse 34, that's what he says in verse 34. And if that didn't, drive it in to these folks, the next one, verse 35, would have drilled it home a little bit more. It says, "Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, and a son belongs to it forever." But a son belongs to it forever. When we are made free through Christ, we were given and are given a seat at the table in the family. We're no longer a slave to sin, but a child of God. I told Danny I'm not going to sing that, but hopefully that makes you think of a song, because that is a song. We're no longer a slave to sin. We are a child of God. But the original hearers, that audience, they would have had a different picture in their head when they heard that. Remember, they are Abraham's descendants. And if you recall the story of Abraham in Genesis, we remember that his wife Sarah desperately wanted to have a child, right? We remember that she wanted to have a child, and she ended up taking matters into her own hands and presenting her slave Hagar to her husband, Abraham, right? And Hagar, a slave, bore a son, Ishmael. A son is a son, but the slave had no permanent place in the family. When Isaac, Abraham, and Sarah's son was eventually born, Ishmael and Hagar were cast out. They were treated as slaves, and they were cast out. A slave can enjoy the privileges of his master's house while he is there, but he has no right to remain there forever, right? He can be thrown out at any time, and that was an example. So Jesus' audience would have thought about that, because they knew the law. They knew the stories. They knew that they were Abraham's descendants. They knew who they came from. So they might have been squirming in their seats a little bit at this point, okay? And so, the Jewish nation had enjoyed this special privilege and relationship with God through the Mosaic Law, right? And the law was meant to be a guide to truth, not truth itself. It was meant to be a guide to truth, not truth itself. Jesus had already been making the claim that he was the Messiah, the light of the world. And in verse 36, he hits it again by saying, "So if the Son," capital S, "Son, sets you free, you will be free indeed." Jesus is talking about himself. He is saying that when he sets you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus is saying that he is freedom. Jesus is the freedom. So that's a different definition of freedom. Jesus is freedom. In Galatians 6, Paul talks about freedom. Some of this might be familiar to you, but I'm going to go ahead and read it. It says, "Before the coming of this faith, we were held custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. We were slaves. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, and that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. We are no longer under sin as our master. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into the church have clothed yourself in Christ, with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. All who claim Jesus as their Christ are free, and all who can claim Jesus as their Christ are descendants of Abraham. Okay? So when you put this all together, this is basically what is being said. It says, if you abide in me, continue with me, you're really my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The law isn't going to do that. The truth will do that. I will do that. That's what Jesus is saying. Everyone is in need of freedom because everyone sins. But everyone has space at the table through faith in me. You are all children of God, and when I set you free, you'll be free indeed. I am the freedom. A relationship with me is your freedom. So freedom is found first and foremost in Jesus. He frees us from sin and death. Again, Paul talks about it in Romans, for sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law, but under grace. In verse 17, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Only in Jesus can there be true freedom. Because when he frees us from sin, we are indeed freed from it. Sin is no longer the master, but righteousness, Christ. Jesus is freedom, and when we're his disciples, when we abide with him, when we spend time with him, when we love him and continue with him, we're freed from sin and death. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So, if Jesus is freedom, okay, track with me. What does that actually mean? What does that actually mean for us today? You know, part of looking at the red letters is understanding what Jesus has to say to us, but then how do we apply it to our lives? What is he calling us to do with this? What is he calling us to do with our freedom? And the basic, I wanted to say the one word for that, but no, it's two words. Share it. Jesus wants us to share our freedom. Be his disciples, follow him, and share our freedom. He's calling us into a relationship with him. He said, if you are holding to my teaching, you are really my disciples. He's calling us into that relationship and into partnership with him to love and to serve just as he did. In Luke 4:18-19, this is where Jesus kind of gives his mission statement, if you will, for his ministry on earth. It's kind of what his plan is. And so if it's Jesus' plan, that means that it's our plan as well, because we're to be disciples of him and learn from him and do what he does. And so in Luke, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus is quoting Isaiah 61 in this passage, and really from the beginning, he is claiming that spot as Messiah and as Savior, right? I'm not really sure that, you know, the Jewish community at the time and his audience in our main passage today, they didn't want to believe that, but he was claiming it from the beginning. I am the Messiah. I bring freedom. But we have a role as a church. We have a role in the rescue. The church, all of us, are to be the light of Christ, shining his light and his love and sharing his freedom with everyone. And last week, we talked about this a little bit, if you remember, if you were with us. If you haven't, you should podcast it. We talked about love, and we looked at the story of the Good Samaritan. In Luke 10, and then we also talked out of Matthew 5 about loving your neighbors, but also what that means to loving your enemies. We saw that Jesus refined the definition of love, really, to include compassion and action, that love is active, that it does, that it moves. And so through the story of the Good Samaritan, we learned also that it applies to everyone, including people that we might see as our enemies, that our enemies are actually our neighbors. They can be included in that category. And then at the end of the passage in Matthew, Jesus says, be perfect. He says, be perfect. And we talked about how that's kind of hard because we're not able to be perfect, just like everybody sins. You know, Jesus is the only one who's perfect, right? Well, we decided last week that he's saying do better. practice. Do better. Practice loving people so that you get better at it. Try to be perfect. We should all try to be perfect. We're not ever going to measure up, but we can try harder to love better. And during our Chili Feed, I actually had quite a few really great conversations with people that were asking about specific situations of, well, what does it look like to love actively in this situation? Or what does it look like to love actively in that situation? It was great. It was actually super encouraging to have people talk to me about that, because the hardest part is being willing to do something. That's the hardest part about hearing about a need, is being willing to do something. You know, when you're willing to do something, or you have that desire, you have that call, oftentimes we just stiff arm it and say, yeah, no, I don't think I'm going to do that today. I don't think I really want to do that. That actually sounds pretty terrible. I don't really want to do that. Or that sounds like it's going to be hard. I don't want it to be hard. And so we actually need to have the courage to actually do something. Okay? Emma has the courage, and it has the courage to go do something, right? I mean, taking a huge leap of faith in that direction. And during our Veterans Day prayer this morning, I read from Galatians 5. It said, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." Do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. This is what veterans have done, and this is what those who are serving us, from police to our military to firefighters to teachers to pastors, we're serving. It's our profession to serve people, right? And it's hard, but it takes courage to do it, and that's what we're all called to do. We're all called to love one another and to serve each other in love. We need Jesus, you guys, we need Jesus, because only in him can we find freedom. He's where our freedom begins. So we need Jesus. That freedom gives us life. It gives us life. Freedom from sin and death gives us life. And it gives us the opportunity to love and to serve people in a new way. So that's our takeaway for this morning, that Jesus is our freedom. We need to lean into him so that we can use his energy and use his courage to serve the world around us. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to continue in worship a little bit longer. Father God, thank you for this message of freedom. Thank you that you provide freedom for all of us who lean into you and call out your name, Father. I pray that you'll help us to be better disciples. God, I pray that we will spend time with you, that we will abide in you. God, I'm thankful that we have this opportunity. Lord, thank you for sacrificing yourself for the sake of us. We're so thankful for that. God, I pray as we continue in the conversation this month about freedom and what that stands for and what it means, that we would just be continually leaning into you and where you would have us and what you would have us do, Father. We're just so thankful. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.